Well, it's so good to see everyone tonight. We're glad to be together. We're having a little bit of winter, but we're not having as bad a winter as people up in Minnesota and Wisconsin, Chicago, and all of that. Well, we're glad to be together and study from God's Word. We're studying in the book of Numbers. And you know, the Bible says the things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And this is what they're referring to there in Romans 15 and 4. And what we're learning really is we're learning about the children of Israel. They're going through the wilderness of sin, and they're headed toward the promised land. And that's what they are, a shadow of us. We are now the people of God. We're now the Israel of God. And we're traveling through a world of sin. And oh, that sin's getting worse and worse day by day. You know, the New York legislature and government officials signed and you're aware of that. We had a sermon on that about the abortion. And now the governor of Virginia is saying not only can you kill the unborn, but you can kill the born. He wants to have a law to even kill the born, the children that are already been born. So we're living in a wicked, wicked world. It's a horrible, horrible world. And anyone that would kill little infants like that has no morals. And I'm certain they don't know what the Bible says. They don't care what the Bible says, but we do. And so we're trying to travel through this world of sin, and we're trying to keep ourselves separate as God wants us to do. Now, in this book, we're learning that God has His people organized, and we're going to be in chapter 10 tonight. And we're going to see more of that organization. And what we need to really appreciate about this passage and to apply to us today is God has the church organized. God has the home organized. God really wants an organized government too. He wants a law and order government. But God is a God of organization. And people in religion today don't seem to understand that God has principles that guide us, that guide our worship and guide our lives. And what they want to do is just throw the Bible basically, theoretically, philosophically, throw the Bible out the window. And they just want to do their thing. And God's never intended for us to do our own thing. Just do whatever suits you, whatever pleases you. And so we're learning that. And so let's turn to chapter 10 and begin reading with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Well, do you think they could make six trumpets of brass after God said make two trumpets of silver? And that's what I'm talking about. People today think, well, God said sing, but look, we can do all kinds of other stuff. We can dance and we can clap and we can play the drums and we can play all kinds of instruments. You know, the silence of God's word, We go by silence. We've used this illustration many times. You go to Dairy Queen and you say, I want the number one. They cannot give you the number two. They cannot give you the number five. You said number one, and if they bring the number five, whatever that is, I don't know what it is, but you say no. No, I'm not. I'm taking that number five. I said number one. When you say the number one, you ruled out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however many different kind of meals they have up there, you ruled them all out. When God said two trumpets of silver, that ruled out brass trumpets, six trumpets, 10 trumpets. It's simply a matter of authority. And, you know, I want to spend a little time on that. Authority is important. And we're going to be judged by an authoritative word. So he said two trumpets, and he specified the material. It's just like the Lord's Supper here. The bread is specified. Unleavened bread is specified in the Bible. The fruit of the vine is specified by God's word. And so we can't change that. We can't put pizza up here. We can't put Dr. Pepper up here. We have to stay with what the Bible says. And so here's what people say, though. Well, it doesn't say we can't play a guitar. See, that's the problem. Well, it doesn't say we can't ride a unicycle. It doesn't say we can't have a pie fight. It doesn't say we can't throw watermelons up in the air. I mean, There's a zillion things it doesn't say we can't do, but we are given what we are to do, and that ends the discussion. So two trumpets of silver of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them. Now here's the reason for their use. For the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Now they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all kinds of stuff that we have today. They made trumpets made out of silver, made out of one piece. And they were for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. You just didn't go around tooting the horn just whenever you wanted to. It was for these specific reasons. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so it was for the assembly. It was a call for the assembly. And if they blow but with one trumpet, see how God is organizing them? See how God is laying out? Now, this is how you do. You hear the trumpet. This is what you do. You come to the assembly. And if they blow with one trumpet, then the princes which are the head of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. So God has it all organized. There's no guesswork here. People say, well, that's a gray area. No, there's either it says it to do it or it doesn't say to do it. And so there wasn't any gray area. When you blow an alarm, so you could blow for an assembly, and when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. Okay, that's the east part. We had it on the board. And so you got Judah, and you got Issachar, and you have Zebulun. Here's the tabernacle right here. And that's the way that camp is laid out. So, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall... Okay, here's how you move out. This is what you do. You blow the trumpet. And then those guys, there's three tribes over there. Three tribes. They start gathering up their things. They start packing up their goods. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journey. There's three tribes over here on the east. Now there's the south. You blow it the second time, these three tribes on this side, they start gathering up. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall blow not sound an alarm. And so there's these different trumpet sounds. And I bet everybody here used to at the football games, they blew the charge. Remember the charge? They would blow that at the football game. Charge! I can't do it, but somebody here can do it. But anyway, there was the charge. So they have these different types of sounding with the trumpets. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, that's who the priests are, the sons of Aaron, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance. You know what an ordinance is? A law. We have ordinances here, don't we? We have ordinances in our county. Now this shall be an ordinance for you forever throughout your generations. So that doesn't apply to us. We're not blowing trumpets and sounding alarms, sounding an assembly. We're not doing that. That's not for us. It was for them through their generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy, now watch this, against the enemy that oppresseth you. You know, you just don't go to war for any reason. You go to war for someone who oppresses you. Then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. You know, if I knew God said that, hey, you'll be saved from your enemies, you know what I would do? I'd be sure to blow that trumpet. You do what God says to do, and God will bring the blessings He says He's going to bring. And so that was connected to a blessing. That's an ordinance connected to a blessing. And basically everything that we are to do is connected with a blessing. Repent, that your sins may be blotted out. Be baptized so your sins may be washed away. Pray, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall guard your hearts and minds and Christ. You know, there are blessings attached to God's Word. We need to appreciate that. They are now. There are blessings attached now. There were blessings attached back then. Also, in the day of your gladness, aren't you glad that we have days of gladness? They had days of gladness. Also, in the days of your gladness and in your solemn days, we have solemn days as well. They want to sell fireworks on every day, but on every holiday, but there are some solemn days that we should have. And in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so God laid it out there real clear for him. Trumpets, two, silver, one piece. Your sons of Aaron blow the trumpets. You blow alarms, you blow assemblies, you blow for war. God organized them. And he's organized us. We're organized. Follow the organization of God. Everything's going to be all right. And God has blessings attached to that. Well, guess what? And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year. Now, this tells us they had calendars. Okay? They had calendars. They had a 12-month calendar just like we have 12-month calendar. Their calendar numbered months were a little different, but it's still 12-month calendar. So on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, so they've been gone from Egypt for a year, for 13 months, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. God said, now when you see that cloud go up, you get ready to move out. And the children of Israel took their journeys. Guess what? It's happening just the way God said. The cloud went up, so they started the journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. So they went from one general location to another general location. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So this is not like, hey, what are we going to do today? Hey, let's take it. No. What did God say for us to do today? Let's act on the command of God. And that's what we must do in everything. We don't vote, hey, we're going to take the Lord's Supper on Sunday. Everybody raise your hand if wants to. Or, okay, now everybody raise your hand if you want to take it on Saturday night. We don't do that. God's already designated the day. The day's already, we don't have to choose that day. What day do we give as we've been prospered? God's decided that. He's organized us. We give on the first day of the week. That's what they did back then. First day of the week is when Jesus rose from the dead. First day of the week was when the church started on the day of Pentecost. First day of the week. First day of the week was when the disciples met. Acts 20 and verse 7. It was that day that they partook of the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7. It was that day, the first day of the week, that they gave into the treasury as they had been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. So we don't have to decide that. I'm glad that we know when to come together and when to do these things. And so they took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses, and he was their leader. Today, Jesus Christ is our leader. Moses was a type of Christ. Now we have Jesus Christ. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies, and over his host was Nashon, the son of Abinadab. So here's the tabernacle right here. That's east. There's where the sun comes up. Judah is camped right there on that corner. He loads up his goods and he begins to move out. He goes first. It says in verse 15, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar, was Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. So there's Judah that over there. Now here's Issachar, is the next tribe. And so they load up. They begin to move. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward, bearing the tabernacle. They were handling the curtains. They were handling the material part of the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward according to their armies over their host was Elijah, the son of Shedeur. So here's Judah went out. Issachar went out. Zebulun went out. And now Reuben's over here. Reuben's on the south side. Here's the tabernacle, and there's Reuben. Now Reuben starts to go. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Simeon, he's the next one, was Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad, that's the sixth tribe. There's the sixth tribe. They were in that corner over there. Was Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. And the Kohathites set forward bearing the sanctuary. And the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. So now the inward parts of the tabernacle comes, and that's the middle part of the procession. So six tribes have moved out, and now the tabernacle moves out. It's in the center of the camp. And then the rest of them begin to go. Those on the west side, verse 22, and the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward according to their armies, and over his host was Elishama, the son of Amminahud. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward. And so Dan's over here. He's over here on the north side, on the west corner over here. And which was the rearward. So we're getting to the rear of the part of the procession here. And of all the camps throughout their host, and over his host was Ahiezer, the son of Amminashaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagael, the son of Ocran. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus were the journeys of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. So that's how God laid the camp out. And when they began to move, that's how the camp moved. And God had that camp in order for that very purpose. And God had them lined up the way he wanted them to. Reuben was over here. If I'm not mistaken, Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. Judah was right up there. Judah was the first leader. That was the first tribe that went out. Guess what? Guess what about Judah? That's the tribe Jesus came from. And that was the tribe set at the front of that procession. And so God has a great plan here. He's got it all planned out. He's got it figured out. And we need to appreciate his development of the plan of salvation. The Old Testament is laid out in such a way as it's teaching us what is to come. It's a shadow of that which is to come. It's like the old illustration. If you look down on the ground and you see the shadow of the peach tree, you can see the peaches on there, but you can't really make it out in great detail. But if you follow that shadow, it'll bring you to the tree. And there's the tree, and there you can really get the fruit off of it. And that's the way the Old Testament is. It leads us to the truth. It leads us to the real. And when you get to the real, you couldn't get salvation over here. It wasn't clear. It was a mystery in the shadow form, as the Bible calls it. It was a mystery. But you follow that mystery shadow to what was making the shadow, and then you get the fruit. Then you get to enjoy what God has truly planned. We're in it. We're in the church. We have the true salvation of the forgiveness of our sins. We are the true Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God today. Now, this was teaching us. Do what God says. God has a plan. He knows what He's doing. Trust Him. He's not leaving it in our hands. You don't have to figure something out. Matter of fact, He doesn't want you to figure it out. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But you know the rest of that proverb. He don't want you to figure it out. Because what man figure out is the way that leads to death. So God has it figured out. And what He wants us to do is simply obey and follow His command. So as they went through the wilderness, He led them straight to the promised land. And then, of course, there was a problem. There was a problem why they couldn't go in. They couldn't go in because of why? One word. Sin, unbelief. The sin of unbelief. They didn't believe God, and they didn't go in. What a powerful lesson. We're going to come up on that in chapters 13 and 14. We're going to come up on that. They did not get to go in. They went, had to go back. They said, oh, no, we'll go in now. We'll go in. God says, no, you forget it. I'm not with you now. So they tried to go in. They lost. They had to go back into the wilderness, and they all died there. What a powerful lesson for us. Don't have that unbelief. That's what Hebrews 3 and 4 is teaching. Don't be like them. They didn't go into the rest. They fell short of the rest. And so this is teaching us a wonderful, wonderful lesson. We are to love this. We are to love this part of the Bible. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So that's Moses' father-in-law, Hobab. He was a Midianite. He says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Hobab, you need to go with us. Because if you do, God's spoken good toward us. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee. For as much as thou knowest how we are encamped in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. You know this wilderness. Matter of fact, that's where Moses tended the herds for 40 years before going to Egypt. He tended herds, and Moses knew that Hobab probably knew this area even better than he, and he said, you come with us. Hobab might have known where maybe trees were, wood was. They needed wood. They needed firewood for that altar. He would know where certain things were, and I think Moses wanted him for strategic purposes. And it shall be, if thou wilt go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. By the way, now I don't know if Hobab was counted among the mixed multitude, but there was the tribes. There were the 12 tribes. But then we're going to read in this book that there was another group there called the mixed multitude. They weren't in the tribes. We don't really see where they were located, but they came along. They probably were poor, downtrodden people who wanted to get out of Egypt too. There was the mixed multitude. They might have been mixed with the Hebrews. There may have been some kin folks there or something of that nature. But we'll read about them. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, that's Mount Sinai. 3 days' journey. The ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day. And when they went out of the camp, it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Moses was a man who depended on God. He had a very close relationship with God. The Bible says that God spoke to him face to face. And so Moses depended on the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to depend on the Lord for everything. And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." And so they start on this journey. They're on a 3 days journey. And they've already had some trouble there at Mount Sinai that first year when they built that golden calf. They built the very idol that God destroyed down there in Egypt. It's really weird that people would do that, but they would. But now we get to, these are real people, real people. They're just like you and me. They're real people, and they're out there in the wilderness, and they're traveling along in a big, huge caravan. And notice what they begin to do. They begin to do something that is so common. I've done it. You've done it. But you know, I'm going to stop it. And we all better stop it. Because it's something that very much displeases God. And that's complaining. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now we could stop right there and know that we mustn't complain. We mustn't complain. Because that statement already told us it displeases the Lord. And when you think about our situation, we have it far better than the children of Israel. They didn't have cars. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have ERs. They didn't have blood pressure cuffs to put on your arm. They didn't have thermometers to check your temperature. They didn't have pharmacies. You go buy your pharmaceutical goods. They didn't have all that. We can go to the store 24 hours a day, buy anything we want, buy ice cream, buy soda pop. That's what we used to call it, soda pop. We can buy anything we want to, just about, basically. Any 24 hours a day. And look at that, how good we've got it. You know, there's some people here that lived in places where you had to draw water out of a well. There's people here that lived in places where they walked behind a mule, plow the ground. I mean, we got it made. And what do? We complain. That traffic's so bad. Oh, it's so cold today. Oh, I wish it'd stop raining. You know, even the weather report. Well, Pete, tell us when it's going to stop raining. Well, we've needed rain for so long. And Pete, it's rained a little bit today. Tell us when it's going to stop raining. Well, don't be so worried about all of that. We need the rain. So they complain. And it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And His anger was kindled. You know, God had done so much for these people. He had got them out of slavery. They didn't even have to lift a finger. And when they left out of Egypt, those Egyptians were just giving them gold and giving them valuables and treasures. They were just giving it to them. Gold and earrings and jewelry, they was giving it to them. God said, "That's your pay that they didn't pay you all these years. And now you're going to get your payday." And they come out of there with all that. And they use that gold to build that golden calf. You know, people. You know, we're people. They were people. We're people. We're pathetic. They were pathetic. We can be pathetic too. When we start griping and complaining and bemoaning and bellyaching, God gets angry about that. And His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Nadab and Abihu got that fire, didn't they? And back there in Leviticus 10, they were back there at Mount Sinai, they got the fire. They see the fire again. You know, you saw two men burned up and their bodies are laying out there maybe all crooked and shriveled and everything, don't you think you keep your mouth shut after a while? And now the fire comes down and consumes people in the uttermost parts of the camp. You'd think after a couple of those and after what you've seen down there in Egypt, you saw all those plagues down in Egypt, you saw the death of the firstborn, looks like you'd keep your mouth shut. Looks like you'd get your attitude adjusted. You know, we need to get our attitude adjusted a lot of times. I know I do. Get your attitude adjusted. Read your Bible. Look what God does. Stop your complaining. Get a happy smile on your face because God doesn't want that old, yeah, but I got up on the wrong side of the bed today. Well, you better go back, get in, and get back up on the right side of the bed and get in a better mood because God says rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice.
Yeah. Who are not helping out with children, not helping out with meals or livestock, and they're the ones that are kind of just kicking the dirt. Oh, why do we be out here?
They could have been like the fringe people. Kind of want to stay out there. You know, when Jesus was arrested, his disciples became fringe people, didn't they? Ooh. You know, they followed Peter. Peter followed, but he got back. He got back away from the Lord. He followed him, but not like he was before. So let's don't be on the fringe, because that's not a good place to be. Yes, sir.
Sadly, you know, we would like to think that in the church, these problems don't come up. Criticism, backbiting, you know, all types of things. And even in the first century,
that's exactly right.
I guess it's human nature. I don't know what it is.
That's right.
You know, like you said, it displeases them. It angers them when
you know, we gripe and complain. Look, we're headed toward heaven. Yeah, too slow. And I knew a lady one time. Why don't you go? Are you going to church over at Kennedale? No. Are you going to church over at Flamingo Road, which was closer to her house? She said, no. Why? Well, they lead songs too slow over at Kennedale, and I go over at Flamingo Road, and they lead them too fast over there. What? That's it? That's all you got? That's your reason? They led them too slow over there, too fast over there? People, come on. We're headed toward heaven. Don't mess up your situation. Don't mess up your salvation. When people complain about the church, really, here's what I really think is they don't want to go to church. They're looking for some little snag somewhere they think. Oh, they led too slow. You don't want to go. You don't want to go to church. That's not a reason to not go. Yeah, there are hypocrites in the church. You don't want to go to church. You just, yeah. Listen, we're headed for the greatest place you can imagine. We are to get happy. We are to get glad. We're going on a great journey here. It's a once-in-a-lifetime arrangement. Let's get it right. Let's go. Let's be saved. Let's be happy and joyful. Let's have unity. Let's have love. And, you know, we create the atmosphere that we live in. If you want to be grumpy and gripey, then you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable because you're creating an atmosphere of grumpiness and sourness, and it's just not going to make you happy. So it says, and the people cried unto Moses. Well, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they cried really, really loud. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Moses was the mediator. Moses was the mediator. We have a mediator now, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. And so Moses was doing his job, and he mediated for the people. And he called the name of the place Taberah. What did that mean? It meant this, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. It meant place of burning. And so they named that place Taberah, place of burning. And the mixed, here it is, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel who also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Oh boy. They forgot about the babies being thrown into the Nile. They forgot about the whip of the taskmasters. They forgot about having to go get their own straw. They forgot about the slime pits, the Bible says, where they made the brick. And all they could think about was the leeks and the onions and the flesh that they ate. They looked back to their bondage. That's what people do. They're baptized for the remission of their sins. And they look back to those old bars and taverns, and they look back to those old dance halls and that old drinking and that old cussing and carousing and staying out of the church. And they look back to that old life and they go back to it. That's what these people were doing. They were lusting after that former life. And you know, it happens to people in the Lord's church. They start lusting after it. That's why the Lord said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. These people started looking back. Lot's wife, she started looking back. She was looking back to all that sin and iniquity. And she shouldn't have done that. And so they began to bellyache and complain. And they said, now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. All we got to eat is this manna. You like when your kids gripe like that? All we got is this cereal. All we got is this old pancakes, waffles. You know, we jump on our kids and they start doing that. We don't let them bellyache like that. And guess who brought that manna? God made that manna. How would you like to make a spend several hours making a cake or making a casserole? Is that all we got to eat is casserole? How's that make you feel? I spent 2 hours making that casserole. I spent some time making that cake, and you say that's all we got to eat? You wouldn't like it either. You wouldn't like it. God doesn't like it. And God was giving. You just go out there and pick it up every morning. That's all you had to do. And that was it. And they were griping about it, complaining about it. You know, people are pathetic, and I'm a person, you're a person too. We do some pathetic things. That's why the Bible says examine yourself, look at yourself. What are you doing? Are you giving thanks, Zach? You know, we really make up our minds to be whatever we want to be. You want to make up your mind to be sad, you'll be sad. You make up your mind you are what you want to be. Read this story about this lady. They were taking her to a nursing home. She'd never been there. And they said, "Oh, you're going to like this place. And, oh, there everybody's nice there and everything." And she's smiling this whole time. And they're going. And they said, "Well, what are you smiling about? You hadn't even seen it yet." And she goes, "I've already made up my mind. I'm going to be happy there. I've already made up my mind." I like that. We can make up our mind to be happy if we want to be, even if all we have is beans and cornbread, and the cornbread doesn't have any salt in it, you know, and the beans don't have any bacon in it. We can be happy if we want to be. I mean, it's up to us. And so they were griping and complaining about what God was giving them. And the manna was as coriander seed, the color thereof as the color of bdellium. I think in the book of Psalms there, it's kind of described as kind of like a honey, something made out of honey, sort of that color. And the people went about and gathered and ground it in meal and beat it in a mortar. Then that means they made a batter out of it and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Not old oil, not something stale. Fresh oil. It tasted good. You know when you put Crisco in something, you know how much better it tastes? This tasted good. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And they griped about that. They complained. They was so unhappy. They'd been eating that for a year. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Griping and complaining doesn't bring a good atmosphere. We should not do that. We have so much to be thankful for. The Israelites had so much to be thankful for, and they weren't thankful. And so it was showing there. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. I mean, we can give thanks for shoes and our socks, and we can give thanks for our glasses, and we can give thanks for these wonderful Bibles. Go anywhere, go to the dollar store, buy one. We ought to give thanks for so many things. All right, try to remember that place there. We're in chapter 11 and verse number 10. And be careful what you ask for, because God's fixing to give it to them. And it's not going to be a very fun time either. So, yeah.